Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Shadarel. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk some more about the connection between minds. We'll try to deepen our scrutiny on our way to a better life. Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah, on this show, we'd like to talk about the connection between minds in a group, what we call brainstorming. It's a method that was developed in order to find solutions for problems and to develop creative thinking in order to develop new ideas. It was thought up in 1939. This method was publicized in 1957. This all happened many years ago, and still we use this method, although with some variations. And I'd like to start with the question of what happens in a state of brainstorming when a group sitting together, the stages are, a group gets together at first very freely, they throw in different ideas related to the problem they're trying to solve without any criticism, only encouraging more and more ideas. The next stage is sorting these ideas to see what fits, what doesn't, choosing a certain idea. And the third stage is feedback for the group that took part in the brainstorm. The question is, what happens with that group that takes part in the brainstorm? They probably have a certain kind of connection between all of them, each of them receiving a certain format, way of thinking, way of talking, expressing themselves, through understanding the questions, the answers from others. And of course, whether a person wants it or not, he comes out of the discussion in a different way than he came in. And by it, they start thinking more closely together, what we call understanding each other, maybe seeing themselves opposed to each other, but in a clearer way, meaning all the points become clearer, more conspicuous. In a brainstorm, are there new ideas born? Of course. By everyone listening to each other and processing this information, suddenly a person feels that this is something that he didn't think about before, and also the other person didn't say what I'm thinking now, but as a result, new ideas are formed in him. And there are two approaches to brainstorming. The one says that individual thinking is preferable. Meaning what? It means that it's better to take the same amount of people that are supposed to participate in the brainstorm, for each of them to sit by himself and to find solutions for that problem and ideas and so on. And there is an approach that says no. The group sitting together creates a better result. What's better, in your opinion? After each of them is ready by himself, then of course it's preferable to be together, that then together they can create, give birth to ideas on a different level than before. Ready meaning what? It means that each of them, through the connection, gets additional things from the others, positive or negative, but all in all, this is what develops them. We also see it in all forms of nature. Maybe I do or don't understand it, but we see that nature advances and develops in a very simple way, through reproduction, through connection, that in every way, on all levels, nature pushes toward connection. First of all, reproduction, and then connection. And we can also see it in the computers that we build and different things, that there is quantitative development and qualitative development, and they support one another. You described a situation where a person comes in a certain state and comes out of that process or during that process, new things are created or born in him. So I deduce that they pass things on to each other in that interaction. So what's passed on between people? What goes on there? We can't say. We don't really have the words for it, but I have to say that what's passed from one to the other is a thought, all in all. But it's more than a thought. It's a kind of inner energy that ties us together in one mechanism, that we're not only interdependent, but this is also how we exist. It's not in our hands to begin with. We're a part of a certain system. We can't go into that system, come out of it. We're inside it. And we have to exist in it. Only that there's also some kind of a free action on our part to somewhat increase the action of this mutual system, or vice versa, to decrease its influence, but to a very small extent. The main thing is that we are in one system, and this is something that's out of our hands, and all of our minds are connected into one mind. Researchers show that it's not easy to succeed at a brainstorm to get good results. So they show us what exactly technology should we use in order not to waste time. And they discovered something very interesting, that if during a brainstorm, for example, you introduce a certain assumption or thought and you brainstorm on it, and afterwards you take the group to the next stage where you introduce the very opposite assumption, then actually the movement, the motion from thinking in a certain direction to thinking in another direction truly improves the results. And this is what I wanted to ask about. Why does the motion from one place to its opposite causes our minds to be much more productive? Because this is how it is in all of nature. As it says, love covers for all crimes. What do we need crimes for? In order to cover them with love. And the difference between the crimes and love, the gap, the difference between them, creates in us that state in which we can exist in the most sensitive, best possible, most productive way. How is this related to what I asked? Because it has to do with a thing and its opposite. It's a principle that exists in nature. But what happens when there's this oppositeness, the motion from a thing to its opposite? These two particles, plus and minus, when they connect, they create between them, from a thing and its opposite, the ability to give birth to the third state. What does it do to a person's mind when you invert it from one state to another? These are two forces that exist in nature, positive and negative, if we could put it that way, or male and female, that only between them can there be reproduction, only in a thing and its opposite, as we've mentioned before. And therefore, we have to understand that there can't be peace without war. There can't be love without hate. As it says, love covers for all crimes. That love can only be as a cover for the crimes. And in order to reach love, first of all, you need crimes. And so on. Meaning, different opinions give society abundance and the ability to develop. And therefore, those people that understand this, they're not impressed by disputes and contradictions, but to the contrary, they understand that only this way can we further advance and develop. You just mentioned that any birth of any new thing, it has to come as a result of the connection between two contradictions, plus minus, male, female, and so on. So I want to relate this to brainstorming. We said that in brainstorming, we introduce a certain assumption, we brainstorm about it, and then we introduce an opposite assumption and also brainstorm about that. Now I want to ask about a different kind of contradiction. In a brainstorm, I can have both men and women together. And as we know, by nature, men and women think differently. How does the male and how does the female mind contribute to the brainstorm? This is already a completely different kind of question. The way a man thinks and the way a woman thinks, it's like the two extremes in nature. A woman acts more in the direction of agreement and consent, and a man works more in the direction of separation and segregation. And when both of them are drawn to reach a certain kind of result, then each of them approaches it with their own way of thinking, with their own emotions. It depends on what level are we talking on the egoistic level of this world or on the altruistic level in order to acquire the spiritual degree. But as it says, man and woman, the upper force exists between them, meaning that only in the contradiction between them can we achieve a certain kind of mutuality. We can put it this way, that the female part can never be connected in and of itself. Two women can never be connected. There is a kind of shell around each and every woman, in mind and at heart, that she can't connect with anything that's foreign to her. And what's foreign to her is anything besides herself and her family. And men are the complete opposite. They don't really feel their own family as if the one that belongs to them. But they transcend their emotions and the different kinds of connections and ties of the corporeal world, wanting to be more connected on the emotional and spiritual level that is beyond the corporeal boundaries. How can we use these natural differences in the best possible way in a brainstorm? How should I use these two forces in order to give birth to the best possible result? We see that this is how it is, because we see that women, they're good at practical kinds of work, different kinds of management, doing something consistently, arranging things, things where a man can't really pay attention to all the details, and men are more about taking things from one degree to the next and so on. So, up until now, we talked about the connection between minds, and now I want to talk about synchronizing our thoughts. Can we reach a state where each of us has a brain and a mind of his own with his own thoughts and so on, and we synchronize our thoughts between people? Between people, it's hard, but it's possible, but still, men perceive it in one way, and women perceive it in a different way. Okay, I want to ask about something else, not about men and women. Synchronizing our minds. Can we synchronize our minds like you synchronize computers? I want to give an example from researchers. A research, for example, talks about guitarists that play a duet, and they're synchronized with each other. They were connected to an EEG machine while playing a duet, and it was found that their inner brain nervous system networks synchronized their activities, meaning they no longer think each out of his own individual brain, but there's something created there. Of course, there's the harmony that connects them. You don't necessarily have to take guitarists. You can take an entire orchestra or a big band, sing together. Furthermore, it's not only regarding a group that has a mutual goal, like suppose those musicians, but we're talking about two friends, close friends, that what does it mean that you're on the same wave with another person, meaning that your body language is kind of synchronized, the words, even the pace of your breathing, meaning there's a real synchronization between these two systems into one mutual system. And the question is really, is it possible to create synchronization, and what are the necessary conditions? There has to be something mutual between them that keeps them together and forces them to listen to that mutual mechanism, whether it's notes, some musical composition, or a special system that we have to discuss and solve problems there, meaning there has to be here some kind of something mutual between us that's so strong that forces us to even breathe in the same pace. For sure, obviously. But these are trivial matters. Besides a mutual goal, does there have to be something else there? Desire. The thing that ties us together is the desire. Our mutual desire will then determine our entire process of thinking and behavior and talking and everything. We'll feel as though we're in the same pot, that we're all the time mutually working together, that we don't need words or actions or motions, but many of the actions are being done in our mind without talking or anything. This is the matter of brainstorming, that we jump and go through many actions without expressing them outwards, externally. In the synchronization of minds, is it possible for one mind to give strength to another mind? Sure, it's one system. It's the same system. There are thousands of connections between minds. I wanted to ask, what do you think about telepathy? There are many people, and it's also something that can be taught, and it's used in different kinds of circles. The government uses it, police uses it, and so on, where people can influence each other, both in terms of the desire and thoughts, and to connect to another person this way and to influence them. All in all, what is a person? It's a system that you can influence. You can influence it through words, and without words, by your desire. For example, there are such people that you can hide something in the room and he takes you by the hand, and whether you want to or not, you bring him to that place. So this is what I want to ask about. With today's technologies, plenty of things are known about us, but the feeling is that our freedom is in our thoughts, meaning the thought police is something that really frightens people, meaning the day that people will be able to read our thoughts, we'll have no freedom to think about what we want to, but we'll have to give account for everything. What do I care that somewhere out there, there is some office that knows everything about me? It's something that really pressures people. What do I have to hide from them that they'll know or won't know, that I'll be ashamed or afraid of them? What? I want to ask about something a bit different. Is it possible to read someone's thoughts? Yeah. Theoretically, it's even people that aren't Kabbalists, there are those that can read thoughts. How do they do it? They penetrate my mind. What do they do? But your mind, it's open. It's possible to read everything in it. It's like going into a computer. There's a keyboard and a mouse, and it's possible to go into your inner computer and see what's going on there. Where is this keyboard and mouse? It could be in the hands of anyone. What do I need in order to read Oren's thoughts right now? You have to really love him, first and foremost. You have to connect to him at heart and soul in a way that you completely love him. And in this absolute love, you start perceiving everything that he has in your computer. What's the connection between love and the ability to read thoughts? It breaks the code. Love breaks the code. How? Love itself. That's how it works. What does it do? Because it cancels the borders. Between what? Between two computers. That I penetrate your computer with my computer. If I really love you, I have no boundaries. If I really love her, I can read her thoughts. Everything. What do you mean by everything? Everything. Thoughts, desires, everything. But it's on condition that you really love her, that no matter what you read there, it won't hurt your attitude toward her. My attitude of love. Right. This means love. That no matter what I discover, it'll only increase my love. And then we remain two separate entities, or we become one thing. This is something that you still have to work at. It's still not enough. But eventually, the goal of this entire process, for all of us to be as one desire, one heart, one thought, one love, and then I won't feel him as Oren, but as myself actually, everything will become one. I won't exist either, because I also separates me from others. There's no me, no him, it's all we. So reading thoughts, it's a step on our way to realizing our potential, where we function really as one entity. One more thing that I'd like to ask about is that there's scientists that were able to communicate words from mind to mind, meaning that the next stage that they're talking about, it's like a kind of telepathy between computers, a technology that can really read minds, for me to be able to communicate my thoughts to Oren, for example. What kind of thoughts do we have that it's such a problem? Well, our thoughts aren't always that great. Many times we have thoughts that are very aggressive toward the other person and so on. If my boss will know that I don't feel like coming to work tomorrow, for example, then there could be some kind of conflict. No, if he'll already know, then we'll be on such a level of connection that it won't influence him. Will be above our nature. Meaning what? Love covers for all crimes. Meaning that on the one hand, I hate you, on the other hand, even more than that, I love you. And then I don't mind that others read the different thoughts of hate that I have. No. Why? It's like a baby that wets himself or does this or does that. What? We don't love him. We do. It's natural. So why should it disturb me? Even if that person is conspiring something against me, so I know that what's going on with him is something natural. It comes to that person from nature. I look at all these things. Like what? When a lion wants to eat me, then what? This is how he is by nature. Today, for example, lots of money is invested in developing cybersecurity, meaning that I want to make sure that no one will enter my computer and disrupt it. Disrupting is something else, but to go in. People, governments do try to disrupt other computers, so every country today, their most developed technologies are how to make sure that no one will be able to enter my system and disrupt it. You're talking about tomorrow's world where things work a bit differently. How will things work? I'm working on a computer that you can't disrupt. Meaning, I'm working on a computer that exists in thin air that I put data into, And it works in such a way that no one can disrupt it. Why? What's protecting it? The correct connection between the parts that I want for them to connect only in love. And then you can't disrupt it. You can't. And who has access to this data? Whoever can acquire that quality of love? Of love. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.